This is message M080, Daniel's 70th week. A word given by Cecil J. DuSile, 12th of August, 1973.
After this privilege again, brethren, of coming together in his name at the wedding feast. Amen. Wedding feast is not up there, it is up here. Amen. And so praise God, we are feasting on this food that is to bring us through into the perfect image and nature of God. This is not an impossibility. It is a fact that God intends that the work which Jesus did here should be sufficient to take us through. And Jesus cannot come back until this is accomplished. Praise be to God. And to explain that part of my opening remarks, let us turn to Acts. And in Acts chapter 3, and somewhere around verse 21, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must retain. In the King James Version, you have received. The word is better translated here, retain or hold, until the times of the restitution of all things which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Praise God. So we see that Jesus is not coming back here until everything is ready, when we are set in order and like him. For when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Tonight's message will be the number of it. We number all the messages. And the number of this is 738E12. We want to speak tonight about Daniel's 70th week. Daniel's 70th week. I want you to turn your Bibles with me over to Daniel. Praise God. And we look at chapter 9. We begin to read from the 21st verse. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. There's one word in this verse that I would like to explain before I go further. I'm reading from Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. That here in the language of Daniel, he calls Gabriel the man Gabriel. This is only a figure of speaking. It does not mean that Gabriel was a man, more than it means that some of the places where they refer to angel, that it was an angel of heaven. Some places refer to angel in the Bible meant a man, the angel man, man that is an angel. Others, a messenger, you see. Other parts in the Bible refers to angel, it means a heavenly being. This place, now it says man, and it means angel. So bless you. Now we go on. Verse 22. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Every time you pray, God answers your prayer immediately. This is scripture. For your reference for that, just write down, if you're writing down scriptures, Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Matthew 7, 7, ask and it shall be given. Matthew 8, 7, 8 says, for everyone that asketh, receive it. Now, the word receive means that it is sent to you, you are given the thing. But as to whether you had the capacity to take it or not, that it doesn't say. This is what happens to us with our prayers. Sometimes we pray for things which we can't handle. Let's say this little young man over here said, Daddy, I want an airplane. So Dad said, okay, I'll get you an airplane. He goes down to the store, he buys a toy, and he brings it up and he says, here's your airplane. Said, no, this is not what I want. I wanted one of those that fly overhead, the big thing. I don't want a little play thing. I want a big airplane. And his daddy said, okay, he's going to get him what he wants. So he gets him a big airplane, and he says, okay, here is your airplane. Now, he couldn't handle it. He wouldn't know what to do with it. The most he could do is wreck it. Pull it to pieces. And so this is what happens to us with some of our asking. Some of the things we ask for, we are not prepared to receive them. Anyhow, we're dealing here with a different matter. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Come on, let's watch it. It says to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin. Not the beginning of the end of sin, but the end. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Hallelujah! Now the word anoint here refers to the coming of Christ. Now Jesus came, but Jesus was not the whole Christ. Can you understand that? You understand it, eh? That Jesus was the head of Christ, and a body must come forth. Amen. So you have a head and a body that is going to be called Christ. So if the body isn't come forth, Jesus, the head, cannot manifest any more than he has manifested before. Amen. But we are looking for a greater manifestation, even in the physical, natural world that we are in. For the head and the body must function as one unit, not according to the body, but according to the head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we shall become what the head is, instead of the head becoming what we are. Follow me? So this is what the scripture here says is going to happen after the 70 weeks. But now hear what happens here. Know therefore and understand, the angel is giving him some deeper understanding, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street of gold that we are talking about, the one that people believe is in heaven and some far off place, a street shall be built again. And the wall, Revelation tells us that the wall measures 144 cubits. That's the 144,000. The wall that God's going to set around his people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even in troublous times, going to be built. Come on. Now, this figure here means 69 weeks. Of 7 days, 7 nines, 7 sixes, and 6 48. 483 days, a day for a year, equal 483 years. Praise be to God. Now, any of you have, all those who have a Thompson's Bible, you got a Thompson's, does your Bible have in it the approximate dates beside the any approximate dates beside the margin there in the margin? Please? I want Nehemiah. If you have an approximate date from the time when Nehemiah built the wall, then you could look right back and see from Nehemiah. I have Nehemiah chapter 4. I just opened at random and it says 445 BC. This is 483 years. Amen. 483 years. This is approximation here. In all man's time, man's calculation, it's just approximation. In Ezra, we have 457. Ezra started at 536. So you understand? The Bible says 483 years from the time when the wall was built in Jerusalem until the Messiah. Now, you see how accurate it is? Now, here it is. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks the street shall be built. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end the war of the war, desolations are determined. Now, we go on. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that the consummation determined shall be poured upon the desolate. You see something peculiar here, that after he gave you the 69 weeks, there is a break and nothing more is said about the 70th week. Yet he said it would take 70 weeks to finish the job. But he said Messiah would be cut off after the 69 weeks, and then the 70th week, the last week, we hear nothing about that week. You know what it's saying? It's saying that the last week had been deferred, and the church would fall down into apostasy and sinfulness, and as it were, time would stand still. And in the last week, which is the 70th week, which is the 7 years of the tribulation, God would again begin to move. Hallelujah. Now we're going to read of some of the things that must happen in this 70th week. Some of the things that's going to happen during this tribulation week. Now, if we put aside this Daniel for just a while, and we turn to Matthew chapter 24. And we look in the 15th verse. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now why was that put in there? Whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, brethren, let's be fair and honest with our Bible. If it was just plain and straight that the holy place meant that second compartment of the tabernacle or of the temple, then it would not have to be said, he who reads, let him understand. You just read and take it for what it is. But there, it shows right here that there is some mystery here. Something that you can only understand by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now let me show you what that thing is. The Word of God is dimensional. Basically, the Word of God has three dimensions. And outside of the three, it has three and three and three and three. Every one, for instance, this is one dimension. This is another dimension. This is another dimension. And that's the three dimensions that we can see at one time. And each one is divided into three. And the trees are divided into three. And it is so minute that we cannot go into the depths of its infinity. Amen. Now, we find that in the first dimension of God's word, always, it is natural. In the second dimension of God's word, it's spiritual. So that the natural man takes it natural, and it works. Amen? It works. We have the Bible saying, I'm just going to give you an example. The Bible saying that Isaac, Jacob, all those paid tithes. And they paid one-tenth of their earnings as tithes. And it brought them prosperity. And so the natural Christian, or the natural man, says, okay, I'm going to pay tithes and see if it's work. And it sure works. You could have so many stories of how you gave so much and you got back so much. And how you gave some. But if you're going to give God to get back a like amount or more, then it's a business. It's no longer godliness. That's sinfulness, more like. Yet it works. Amen. But when it comes to the spiritual man, he also pays tithes. But his tithes is everything. When he gives up all, then the storehouse of heaven is opened unto him, which is what he wants. He's a spiritual man. Therefore, he gets the thing spiritual. And it works. Hallelujah. In the perfect realm, in the perfect realm, our spiritual gifts and all our spiritual activities, when we get it from God, we give it back to him so that we have nothing. Amen. We owe nothing. The next thing happened, the whole of heaven belongs to us. We become sons. Amen. We become sons. And we actually own heaven. Now, so this is the perfect realm. So everything God does, He does it three times, and the third time is always the it, the perfect time. Amen? Bless God. So we come here, and we see this word here. He says that in the temple, in the, he said, when you shall see the abomination in the holy place. Now, all right, let us take the three dimensions of the temple. Amen. First of all, God built a little tabernacle down in bushes. Amen. And there was a holy place in it. Then afterwards, he allowed a temple to be built. And many temples were built, and all those come in the second realm of the spiritual temple, because they were all pointing symbolically to the greater thing. Come, let me deal with you. Let me come square with you. The tabernacle had one little cherubim hanging over, two cherubims hanging over the mercy seat like this. Solomon's temple had two big cherubims stretching 30 feet across, 30 cubits across. The whole width, that covered the whole width, and their shadow fell on the whole congregation. That showed the magnitude of God's overshadowing. Amen. Now, it had one little candlestick. They said it was 5 cubits high. It was about that high, standing up from the floor. Amen. Solomon's temple had 10 candlesticks stretched right across the whole length. So you can understand the difference of temples. But the final and the most glorious temple is the one which was prophesied to when Nehemiah was excited over the building of the temple. And they were going to build this temple, and they were so excited. And God said to them, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Oh, they shouted, they said, oh God, our house is going to be greater than Solomon's temple. They didn't know that wasn't the latter house. You are the latter house. Oh yes. And Jesus Christ in the 17th chapter of John says, Father, 5 verse, give them the glory. Amen. Which we had from the beginning. Give them the glory, because this is the glory. The Bible says, ye are my glory. So you are the glory of God. God has no gold. Gold means nothing to him. Silver means nothing to him. Angels mean nothing to him. All means something to God is you, human beings. His temple in which he will dwell through all eternity. You. Habayashah. Glory to God. And so he said, this temple, the holy place, here you are, holy of holies. And that's man's spirit. Man's soul is the holy place. Soul. That's why when you fool around with your soul, you really desecrate and destroy the holy place. Amen? Your soul is holy to God. That's his holy place where he wants to dwell. Amen. And your body is the outer court. Amen. Now, let's read this verse again and see what Jesus was saying here in his perfect thought. When ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the soul of man. Hallelujah. Whoso readeth, let him understand. He said, then let them which be in low ground get up into high ground. Hallelujah. Now we are going to find out, when is this? When shall we get up into high ground? Now, let's go on. He says, the holy place is man's soul. Of course, you know that means the mind, the emotions, will and the desires. And the strangest part about it, the mind, is likened to a wild beast. The mind is the eagle. And the emotions is likened to another wild beast, the lion. And the will is likened to another beast, which is the only sacrificial animal in the soul. You can sacrifice your will to God. Not my will, but thine be done, Lord. Amen. It's a sacrifice. Hallelujah. And the man is another wild beast. That's the desires. No other creature has desires like human beings. Now, can you see then what God is talking about? So the devil is aiming to retain this area for himself. He wants to have your mind, that your mind must be wild, running all over, can't settle down on God. A wild eagle, a wild lion. The word used in the Greek for wild beast is pterion. Terror, pterion, wild beast. And this is what is used pertaining to the soul nature, a wild beast. And this wild beast, the soul nature, needs to be tamed. Hallelujah. And the only way the soul nature can be tamed is by the Christ of God living right in the center of it. Hallelujah. He said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Now why did Daniel speak of this thing as an abomination of desolation? Because there were many sins and there were many abominations, but there was one abomination and one sin that was going to destroy the world. And that one sin is the sin of rebellion. The sin of rebellion, Nimrod's sin. Amen. So, Baal worship is rebellion against God. People who don't want to worship God, they, in all the different forms of worship, it is Baal worship. So the people here, they are worshiping Baal because Baal is rebellion. The people who love to fight violence, they love to fight and love to be violent. They love guns and love to destroy. These people are all part of the rebellion against God. You see, even the word rebellion comes from Baal. That's how the word is made up. Bellum in the Latin is war, means war. And Baal is the word from which that word has come, for this man was the greatest warrior. Nimrod was the man who first made an army. He was the first man to recruit people and make an army. He was the first man, praise God, to create war in the earth, so they call him Baal. And the word Belum, war, comes from his name. Amen. Now, here we go. We say then, in this holy place, the abomination of desolation will be set up. Now turn your Bibles around to Revelation chapter 13. Hallelujah. Revelation 13. And somebody read for me. From verse 2. Somebody read a few verses there from verse 2 for me.
And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his feet and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwelleth on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth unto captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship. And the first beast, his deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had been wounded by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Praise God. Now, we see here one point, very important point here, that before the manifestation of the man-child, or before the manifestation of the Christ in the earth here, that there will be the manifestation of the beast. Now let's drop this right here. We'll come right back to it. Put a mark in that 13th chapter. And let us go over to Genesis and read there in the symbolic language of God how he had this written in from the very beginning of time. Amen. That the beast would come forth before man. Genesis chapter 1 and God made the beasts of the earth. I'm sorry, verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now that was the sixth day. And God said, let us make man. Amen. Beast was made on the same day man was made. Hallelujah. Now, this is 1973. That means 1973 years after Jesus Christ. Amen. There were 4,000 years before Jesus Christ. And after Jesus Christ, 1973, that's 5,973 years. That means we are 973 years into the sixth day. 5 days, 973 years. Now this 973 is definitely wrong. We are much, much nearer to 6,000 than 27 years, as that shows. Because God's counting of time is different from our counting of time. God counts time 360 days to a year. And we count time 365 days to a year. And we have a disparity between God's time and our time of 5 1/4 days for 1973 years. Amen. Of course, we do have a leap year. And the leap year does make up some. But there is still a disparity. Moreover, the Roman Catholic priest that made that date found out afterwards that it was wrong. And nobody had the guts to change it up to this moment. And all the men know that the calendar is wrong, but they can't change it, for they don't know if they would make it worse or better. Man has never been able to count time right. Amen. Now, I'm saying all that. You notice I confuse you on the point. I don't tell you whether it is here or there because I don't know. But there's something I know. There's something I know. And I'll tell you what I know after I'm through. I don't know, but I know what I know. And what I know is what God tells me about time. Amen. And as we go along, I'll reveal it to you. But this is one thing I want you to get firmly now in your mind, is that the beast must come forth before the man. Okay? Prove it again from Jesus' word. Let's go back to Matthew. And maybe we could take Mark this time, because you know, one scripture complements another. So, instead of taking Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, let's read the companion chapter, Mark 13 and verse 14. Mark 13, verse 14. It says, but when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not to stand, then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountain. Now, he's saying that those who are on low ground must get up high. And this is a spiritual word. Now, let's see, where is, in the three dimensions, where would we find the holy place? We know that this one is a perfect holy place, which is you and I, in our spirit. Amen? We know that there is a church that said they are saved and so on and so on, accept the Lord. And in the church system, there is a holy place. Amen. And in the natural, they have their holy place. But let me tell you something. The churches are going to be taken by the devil. You hear me? They are already taken, but it's not yet revealed. This revelation is one of the revelation of the beast that we are going to see. Amen. Proof. You want proof? Let's go back to what we just finished reading, Brenda. Right back in Revelation chapter 13. It wasn't I who read it. It was you. And you said in verse 11 that I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. This is the church. Amen. This is the church that is looking like a lamb but is a dragon. Hallelujah. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that this one is coming up out of the earth. Okay. You said that he's going to come into the holy place. Is that right? Well, look, brethren. If he's coming in the holy place, then he must be coming in somebody's mind. Is that right? Look at the 17th verse. Look at the 17th verse. And that no man, 16th verse. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now let me tell you something. You've got a right hand and you've got a forehead, but no mark in your hand or in your forehead could send you to hell, because this is a mark of the beast that will send people to hell. It's a mark in the third dimension, which is your mind. Ah, glory to God. Some people's souls are going to be taken by this doctrine of the devil. And God said they will not be able to be saved anymore. So can you understand what we're talking about? He says it will cause some not to be able to buy or sell. That means that we'll have some card or some outward mark. But the outward mark will only be a symbol of your having sold your soul over to the devil. And so we see these are things that are going to happen in this last seventh week. That's why I'm reading about it. In the seventh week. But good things are going to be happening in the seventh week also. Because the beast will manifest. But let me explain what the beast is before you don't understand it. You're supposed to understand. Because I believe that by the end of this year to next year, we are going to see the beast manifest. And God said, when the beast manifests, it's time for you to put up your natural life. Get up into the mountain, he said. And it's very important for you to understand. Now, let's go back to the 13th chapter before we go any further and see what the beast is. This beast of seven heads and ten horns are the seven kings or leaders of the world, and the ten horns are the ten powers of government. Now we find that explanation in Daniel. So let's turn back to Daniel chapter 8, somewhere around here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn around to Daniel and we look at 8. And God began to explain in verse 23, and he said, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Now, that's all well and good there. It's telling us about the Antichrist. You know, verse 19 said, and he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. We heard about abomination of desolation. The indignation, for at that time appointed, the end shall be. But what I wanted to show you here was that this word over in, we just read it over in Revelation here. What was it we went to Daniel to prove here? Yeah, the seven horns, that the seven horns meant seven kings. It's in Daniel and it's in Revelation. You see? It's both in Daniel and it's in Revelation. There's so many scriptures here that I don't particularly want to go into. So I have to be picking out just what I want to show you. All right, I tell you what, I'm going to go on and just ask Mavis to find that scripture for me. The seven heads and ten horns, it's somewhere in Revelation 19, and it's in Daniel someplace. But if you can check on those scriptures for me while we go on, we'll, please, where? Revelation 17. No, that's a different description there. It was describing the Roman Empire in those days. But if you look at the reference for the heads, you'll go right back to Daniel. All right, good. Now, I made a statement. I said these seven heads are seven leaders, world leaders, and the ten horns are the kingdoms. Amen? And so we see that in Daniel, in chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2, where there were seven, let's look at Daniel chapter 2, where there were ten toes of the image. You see, these ten toes, verse 41, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with marl or clay. So the ten toes are the ten kingdoms, the ten world governments that are going to form a coalition in our time, in the 7-year period to rule the world. Now, verse 44 says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Hallelujah. So you see, it is in the days of these ten kings. Now, so when we see what's happening in Europe, in the common market, that's in the natural, and with the United States joining up with the common market money system by the end of this year, and when we see all the nations of the world come together in one block, we know this is the beast we are looking for. Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? You want to know when the beast is going to be manifested. You have got to see this manifestation, and then you know that this never happened since the beginning of time, since God made man and earth. The whole world has never been joined up into one coalition, one governmental system. And this is the thing. The beast is 666. Hallelujah. Six economics. Six religion. Six political. Amen. So right now this country is economically in trouble, is politically in trouble, and religiously it is just a mess. You see, so these three, 666, they're going to join together. And that will be the fullness of control, the fullness of power. Man will reach the highest point of his endeavor. Amen. And the Bible said he will be so powerful that you won't be able to buy or sell. Now, what would stop you from buying from me? What would stop you from selling me if I had money? Nothing. If we have money, man, no government controls. Can you see that, brother Willis? If you and I have money, we would meet in dark corners and do our business. We would pass food from one to another and money pass. And nobody could control us if we had money. But if we don't have money, if they take away the money and they put up a system wherein you have to take up your telephone and call the computer in Washington in order to transfer a dollar to Brenda, then, amen, it will be a strict control. If they cancel your telephone, you are through. You got to bow to them or you stop. You neither buy or sell, save he that hath the mark of the beast. Hallelujah. Let me just explain that point to you. Most of you have push-button telephones. Did you notice that two little digits are on your push-button telephone? Did you ever find out what they were? Well, let me tell you. Somebody was foolish enough to let the cat out of the bag and tell us what it was. And we find out that after that, the telephone company isn't telling anybody else what it is. But since we have no secrets, that little star and that thing means the computer in Washington. That number sign on it means the bank. One is for the bank and one is for the computer. And you'll be able to stand in your home and transfer money from any place to any place. They're just going to use credit. They are trying it out in Europe. And I saw it in last week, Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, Chicago Star Journal, that the United States has decided to go into the money market by October or somewhere around there. You follow what I mean? The European money. And that is the paper gold. In other words, the credit system is going to be instituted for cash. Anytime that is instituted, brother, your money will fall to the ground. And men who believe in money and worship Baal money as their god, they're going to just cut their throats. Because it means that we are coming nearer into a system where everybody, the Bible says, small, great, rich, poor, will be controlled by the power of the beast. Amen. That's what these big men want. That's what these big men want. They want a government that they can control everybody else and have the whole world pull in. Amen. We don't want to go into politics. Amen. When you look outside there and you see what's happening, there's no gasoline shortage. Yet you can't get gasoline to buy. Because somebody wants the price to go up. the great refineries are overstocked, full. Men stop working, don't have anything to do because the tank's full and the gas stations are empty. They create a shortage in order to get more price and to kill the little dealers. And those little dealers are squealing and they'll soon be out of business if you don't manage them. Now, then, on the other hand, we have no shortage of meat. Yet, in another week, meat will be off of your table. The stores are being emptied out. No meat. Why? Somebody's creating a shortage. Somebody who has a power to do it is creating a shortage. For what reason? Well, supply and demand. The laws of supply and demand. When the supply, the demand is greater than the supply, price is high. When the supply is greater than the demand, price drop. So all you have to do is to create a situation where your price go up. And all this is being taken place, and this maneuvering, the economic gods, you see, the men who rule us, we are like sheep in their pasture, and we must eat, and we must buy the food from them. They sell us a monster that drinks gas, and we must get the gas from them, or else our monster don't work. And you're hooked to the system. You are hooked to the system by hooks in your jaw. You better jump to their music. Blessed be to God. God is doing something better than that for us. Amen. We are not going to be hooked to any system. We're going to be hooked to God. And when they cut off our food, God will have to feed us. Amen. Bless his holy name. And so, we go back to the word here. We find that in Matthew 24, there's something I want to show you there again. Matthew chapter 24. Very wonderful chapter. Verse 21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation." Now I'm dealing with the 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 years, I mean, the last 7, with the 69 cut off here and added on to the bottom of time, the end of time. Now I'm dealing with these last 7 years. This is what's going to happen. "For then shall be great tribulation." Let's read from verse 20. "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Brethren, look here. Every one of you, or most of us, have had some winter in our spiritual life. Time when we were cold for God. God Almighty said, "Pray that your flight be not in the time when your heart is cold towards God. For that is winter. Winter destroys life." He said, "Pray that your flight be not in the winter. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Hallelujah. And he says that the beast will only have power over you for 3.5 years. Watch it. He said 7 years tribulation. But it's only 3.5 years that the beast is going to have power over you. Why? Because in the middle of the week, you are going to receive power. Now let's read that in the Bible. Turn back to Daniel, sorry, to take you back and forth like that. But we go to Daniel 7. Hallelujah. Daniel 7. We take from verse verse 20. Oh, this is what I was looking for previously. Verse 20 says here, and of the 10 horns that was in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom there fell even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that speak very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and the same horn. So there's one kingdom out of this governmental system that is going to be persecuting saints. And I know what it is. I know which one it is. It's the one that looks like a lamb, but speak like a dragon. For that's the one that persecuted the saints, and that's the church. This church system out here that we have pulled out of, they are going to come at us. Amen. Because they want us dead or alive. They got a poster up for us now. Wanted, dead or alive. Okay. And so now, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until, now look at them, the word them. In your Bible, does it have a semicolon behind it? That means and, you see. The thought isn't finished. They prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Amen. Bless his holy name. Look at verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until. When? Now, you see that article there, A? If you should take that out and put the, you would get the full sense of what we're talking about. Until the time and times and the dividing of time. You know what that's saying? That there is a special 3.5 years. You know which one it is? The last 3.5 years of time, the saints going to get the victory over the beast. And at the end, they will have the battle of Armageddon, where spiritual power will fly from their very thoughts and slaughter the sons of the devil who come against the church. In other words, for 6,000 years they have been beating us. Hallelujah. Jesus came, opened our eyes, and revealed life and immortality to humanity. And yet, we say we are Christians and we have the power, yet we have never used it. A few men walked along, and a few men had flashes of light. Amen. Praise God. We see the man Moses come to the Red Sea crossing. There was sea before them. Behind them, there was Pharaoh and his host whipping up his horses to get them. Oh, Brother Moses said, oh God, he said, why have you brought us into this condition? What shall we do? God says, what's that you have in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, well, I give you the rod, use it. Amen. He stretched the rod of faith over the Red Sea, and the sea obeyed him and parted. Amen. And at the same time, God himself obeyed Moses and went behind them at their back. And you know what happened? Darkness fell upon Pharaoh and his host, and they started stumbling around in the darkness and couldn't see. And they said, let us bed down right here. And they were right next door to the children of God. But it's such a strange and wonderful thing that fire was on their side and darkness on the other side. Can you imagine what would have happened to them if they had gone through the darkness? Suppose Pharaoh had said, forward march, keep going. Fire would hit them, brethren. But they didn't go into the fire. They waited till morning. And in the morning, the land was clear and the children of Israel were already gone on. And when the cloud lifted from them, God knew that they couldn't catch the slowest one. Amen. And they were foolish enough to rush into Red Sea. God said, Moses, stretch out your rod again. And the sea came in. Blessed be to God Almighty. Moses lived that kind of life. Elijah lived that kind of life. Elisha lived that kind of life. Samuel lived that kind of life. There is hope for us. We got more than all of them put together. Hallelujah. We have more power in this room tonight. Glory to God in the highest than all God's prophets put together. But we are like that little baby. That child could be the daughter of the Queen of England. Shouldn't be different from what she's there this evening. Just as innocent. We are children and we want to wake up to find out the power of Almighty God. The power that God has given. Hallelujah. And you know what's going to wake us up? The tribulation going to wake us up. Those who won't wake, they're going to be jerked alive. In this tribulation. And this is the reason why God wants his people to get together in one. And this is the reason why the devil is fighting about our oneness. The devil is bringing up all kind of division in our midst. Bringing up men and women who are dividing the body. Still believe they can divide and take away a little piece for themselves. Not knowing that the whole body is Christ's body and we can't be divided. We cannot be divided. No matter what they tell you against me, you can't be divided from me because we weren't joined together by carnal means. We were joined together by the Spirit of God which is in you and in me, and you can't help it. Bless his holy name. Glory. You can't help it. Amen. A sister came and told me a story last week. She said, the sister was praying and she said, God tell her, says, send some money and give that brother. She said, but Father, this brother is, he's not of God. This brother is not walking in the light of God. He's not of God. Why should I send and give him the money? God said, send the money and give him. She was perplexed. But she obeyed. She sent the money. So she called her sister and said, I want you to take this money and give Brother Dussel for me, an offering. But I don't believe in him. I don't believe he's a man of God. He said, who told you to give him? She said, God told me to give him. And I questioned him and God told me to give him. She said, the sister turned to her and said, sister, don't you think God's trying to say something to you? Amen. No matter what we do, if we belong to God, we are going to be one without trying. Hallelujah. Amen. All the forces of hell cannot divide the body of Christ. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Nothing is going to stop us from being one. Bless his holy name. Let's go back. So then we see that in 3.5 years, we're dealing with this whole 7 years. In 3.5 years, which is the middle of the week, amen, the Ancient of Days will come, amen, and man shall begin to gain the victory, and it will take him 3.5 years of fighting before he overcomes the devil and the false prophet. Hallelujah. And it's going to be spectacular. The battle and the victory will be spectacular. Hallelujah. Amen. God's divided his army into three. Yes.
Brother Dussel, do you feel that we're in the first 3.5 years now?
Yeah, I said I was coming back to that. In 1970, I had a vision. And a piece of paper was handed to me. I wasn't sleeping. I was working in the yard, cutting the yard in Fort Lauderdale, and I felt the Spirit want me to go inside. So I went inside and sat down, held on my head like this, was just meditating, and then somebody came right up before me. I wanted to look up to see who it was, but I felt that if I looked up, the visitor might leave, and I don't want to disturb him. I want him to perform what he wanted to say to me. So he pushed a piece of paper with his left hand in here, and I was trying to read the paper. It was written with a man's hand from top to bottom, and it was black ink written on a white paper. And it said, I couldn't read it. Couldn't read one word on it. So he drew it back and said, don't worry about this. He said, that's the past. He said, but this is the tribulation. And he pushed another piece, and when I looked at it, the paper was blank, except for two lines written way up the top of the paper. April 1970. And I interpreted it to mean, if my interpretation is wrong, that's the only way I could be wrong. Or if that wasn't the Spirit of the Lord. But I believe it is the Spirit of the Lord, for I've had so much confirmation after that. But when I interpreted it to mean that the Spirit of the Lord was saying that in 1970, around April, the tribulation began. For two lines were already written. And it would be 70 to 71, 1 year. 71 to 72, 2 years. 72 to 73, 3 years, April. And 73 to the end of 73 would be 3.5 years. That's the way I see it. That's the way I see Watergate and all the other confusion that's coming about. It's not going to end here. It's going to expand into a great explosion and into the beast system. Amen. And I see 1973 as a year in which the beast will be revealed by the end of the year to those who have eyes to see, to the whole church. And after the beast is revealed, then I see the false prophet joining with them, the false church joining with the beast. And then when they are well settled, I see them start persecuting Christians. But they have so many laws now against us that they could march in here and arrest all of us for something or the other. So many laws against Christians and Christianity, that it's going to be illegal even to talk in tongues. Yes, they're building big concentration camps all over the country for people who are mentally imbalanced. And they claim when you talk in tongues, you're mentally imbalanced. All the psychiatrists believe that. All the doctors believe something's wrong with you when you talk in tongues. So I want you to know, brethren, that my opinion is that we are at the end of the beginning. Yeah. In other words, the beginning is soon, is just ahead of us. The beginning of the 3.5 years which the Bible talks about. Then, after the beast is manifested, the man-child will be manifested. Amen. And I don't think it's going to be any great explosion of a manifestation. I believe it's going to be quiet. Amen. I believe some people who we don't even count, some nondescript God is the one who chooses the man, the who will be in that group of 144,000. It is not man who is choosing. It is God. You won't choose yourself, not if you try. Amen. God has chosen you for a certain position. And all of us should be very happy in the position which God put us. It's like an army, and God sends some there, some there, some there. You're going to be very happy in the position which God put you. Hallelujah. And so, I believe that things are going to follow one after the other. I don't know when. I don't know how soon or how long after. The Bible only says when you see the beast, then begin to look up and lift up your head. Get up into the mountain. No time to tarry in low ground. Those in the outer court must get out of the outer court. Leave sin and self-life alone and turn into body life, God life. Amen. Of course, that has many meanings. So, praise God. We see, as in our closing here, in our closing, we look at Revelation 12 again, and we see what is going to happen in the last 3.5 years. Amen. First of all, in Matthew there we read that there was going to be a shortening of the time. And that's where we read of the thing coming down to 3.5 years. Verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Now that heaven is your spirit, soul, and body. The heaven that God is planning to dwell in. There's no war up in God's eternal heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That means that if finally some human beings will have cast the devil out, that Satan will be cast out of some human beings, and he will be cast into the earth man. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. But I want you to notice when this happened. This only happened after the man-child was born. See what I mean? This happened, and no man can pinpoint the time, says it's going to happen this time or that time. But in verse 14 it says, and the woman were given the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time. Now this woman was a flying woman. This woman was a flying woman. She had wings and she could fly. So this must be symbolic here, speaking of the mind of Christ that the woman, the church, will receive. That's the mark in her forehead that she will receive, that will give her power to go above the enemy. And God says it will be a wilderness. And when I question the thing, the answer that I get is that Moses got the mind of Christ, and he preferred rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to dwell in the pleasures of sin for a season. That some of us could have an easy time if we wanted to, but we prefer to go out and trust God rather than trust to the things of this life and this world. Follow what I'm seeing? So I see the wilderness can be anywhere. In the Bible, God referred to all different kind of places as wilderness. He referred to the city of Ramesses as a wilderness of Egypt. He referred to Sinai desert as a wilderness. Amen. And he referred in various places to wilderness, which means inhabited places as well as non-inhabited places. So a wilderness can be a spiritual wilderness. We are living in a jungle, a wild wilderness country. You can't farm the food around the city and walk out anytime you want in certain places. You get either knifed or mugged. You didn't do anybody anything. This is true wilderness country. This is not our home. We are sojourners here, traveling as strangers and pilgrims. And so this is the message of Daniel's 70th week. My opinion, for what it is worth, is that we are in Daniel's 70th week. And at the end of this week, the battle of Armageddon shall occur. And the sons of God who have come forth in the full nature of Christ will fight with the word of their mouth, sharp two-edged sword coming out of their mouth, and will destroy the enemy. And that Jesus Christ will come forth in his people. God bless you in Jesus' name. If we have any questions, we have some time for discussion now. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Any questions?
Brother, the church that's going to persecute the saints, don't you, or do you believe that that is the World Council of Churches?
It's not only the world, well, you can call it the World Council of Churches, but it is all the denominations. Those who don't belong to the World Council of Churches at this time are going to be forced into it because they are going to join it to save their property. Yes, sir. You see, there are laws right now in those in the articles of the association of this non-profit organization bid. There are laws in it that can cause them, if you don't satisfy them, the auditors and the government, they can take away your organization and give it to any group that satisfies them. Yeah, there are laws under which they can do that, and so a non-profit organization is no go. I mean, it's just something that work for a time, but at this time it's not the time for a non-profit organization. Because this is the end of non-profit. Thank you. This is the end of non-profit organization. This is what's going to happen to them. They're going to be just seized and handed over to other organizations that toe the line. So you see, if these people with all this massive millions and billions of dollars in buildings and real estate and all like that, they're not going to give up their money and everything like that. They'll go with it. Talking about the mark of the beast, you want to see people, you want to really see people whether they are Christians or not? You come around and say, okay, you won't be able to buy or sell anything unless you take this mark. And when you think of your little kids and they start hungry and crying on you and you can't buy anything, you have money, I mean you got credit in the bank, but you dare not take your phone, you take up your phone and try to buy something and they cancel your number and you get beep, beep, beep. And everything like that, and you realize that you're all going to starve and die. You will either have to have faith or don't survive. Nobody can help you. Anybody who helps you, they drop in the same condition that you are in. You would see who is Christian from who isn't. See, people would just say, well, give me the mark, man, let me eat. This is the kind of controls that come in other countries, you see. And we don't read or hear too much about these things. But there are men who survive as Christians over there. And God is strengthening his people here. And God wants these people to turn their minds to God. Get up into the mountains. This is what the word get up into the mountain means. Turn your mind to God. Because this is no time to be involved with carnal things. But I can't convince you. But when the beast comes forth, that will convince you. I hope. Because some people will still find some excuse to say, oh, church, well, you know, But I am telling you what the beast is right now so that you might be able to know this is it. Check out. God bless you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
This is the end of message. M-O-8-O. Daniel's 70th week.